The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
Today, we chat about art and writing and creativity in the neighborhood. Today's chat is with Terry Hunter. Terry is the artistic director of the Heart of the City Festival, and there are over 100 events at the festival, online and outdoors, and a small amount indoors, featuring the creativity of the folks off the downtown east side. The festival has been running since October 28th, and if you haven't checked it out yet, you still have time. The festival runs until this Sunday. And our conversation was a welcome reprieve for me. You hear this show a lot about the specific issues that this neighborhood is focused on, and often we don't talk about the beauty that we still can find in everyday existence. I learned a lot from Terry about the importance of art to the neighborhood and how it can really play a huge role in the lives of folks. And it makes me think that I should really remember to cover art and culture more on this show. Here's Terry. Terry Hunter, what a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Macy.
Terry, there's so much going on in the festival. I'm so excited to have you sort of break it down for us. And Terry, maybe let's start with this. In your opening remarks to the festival, you talked about how the downtown east side is really where the city of Vancouver began. Yeah. And tell us more about that.
Well, it is the heart of the city. I mean, of course, you know, Indigenous people have been on this land since time immemorial. So, you know, but in terms of the colonial history, certainly Vancouver began in this community. Gassy Jack and his wife, Madeline, arrived on the shores and, of course, started the saloon there. But even before that, there was a sawmill on the land. There's a flat piece of land that came out in the water at the foot of what's now Dunleavy Street. And it was also a famous place because maple trees grew there. And so it was a place where a mill could be built on the shore. So a mill was built there, and a lot of immigrant settlers and Indigenous people worked at that mill. And so Gassy Jack arrived and established the pub, which then began the development of Gastown, which turned into the city of Vancouver. So, this is just 150 years ago, a little bit more now, that the colonial city of Vancouver began. And since that time, obviously, there's been a huge wave of immigrants that have come all over the world. We're living in a neighborhood that's really rich in culture and from all the different groups of people that have come through our neighborhood since, the 1860s, 1870s, but also, obviously, of course, the Indigenous people of this land and all the Indigenous people that have come here and lived in our, are now living in our neighborhood, and they've come in from other places across Turtle Island, across British Columbia, across Canada, and now they call this community our home. So it is the heart of the city. It is the beginning of the city, and so the festival really taps into that history and makes sure that we promote that history and promote the culture and the stories of our neighborhood.
And that's why it's called the Heart of the City Festival.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, but it also goes layers, of course, just around the whole notion of heart, and that this is a community with tremendous heart. It's a community that's had to fight for everything that's ever gotten here. Nobody's ever given us anything. We've really had to struggle and fight for everything. So it's a community with a lot of heart. And it's also a community that has been very supportive of each other. And people themselves in the community have a lot of heart. And so there's a very strong sense of community here. And that value of having heart, having empathy, having compassion, is a very strong value of the festival. So the word heart has multiple meanings for us when it comes to the name and why we chose the name Heart of the City Festival.
Terry, I really have to thank you, and not only you, but so many other people who put this festival together, because I'm very new to the neighborhood. I mean, I'm a journalist with Co-op Radio, but you know, I started this role when the pandemic hit, about 2 weeks before the pandemic hit. And so I really haven't, you know, felt comfortable going around the neighborhood and speaking to people, because I don't want to be passing any of my journeys along to folks. But I mean, just, I think going through some of the programming and sort of dipping my toes in it, I think I'm starting to better understand, you know, the neighborhood. Certainly not have a deep understanding, but maybe understand a little better. And I think I just want to play one excerpt from a poem I'm sure you're very familiar with. And let's listen to it. And I want to hear your thoughts after.
The map we inherited isn't any good. The old roads mislead, and the landscape keeps changing. People are confused and drift from place to place, clothes scorched by fire, eyes red with smoke. The old map tells us to look for gold in the city, so we go to the city and find the garbage dump. We need a new map with new roads and a new destination. Some people fear a new map, and they cling to the old one like flies to flypaper. But the old map leads to pepper spray, tear gas, gulags, death camps, and the end of the world. I don't have a new map, so I write stories. The stories draw lines, dig holes, and above all, remember. Let people know who we are. Tell them what happened to us, an old Mayan woman in Guatemala said. And in this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story, Hamlet said to Horatio. I seem not to speak the official language, the poet Adrian Rich said, so she created an unofficial language, the language of the heart. Drawing a new map is like singing. Voice handler asked Loon why she talked so much, and Loon replied, "Well, sir, I'm not just talking to my own ears. The spirit beings tell me that they have no place to live. That's the reason I keep talking." Loon sings the sacred into the world and creates a new map. Sing your song, friend. Tell your story. The map we inherited isn't any good. The old roads mislead. We need a new map.
Oh, what a powerful poem, isn't that, Terry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who is doing the reading of that?
Oh, what is that woman's name? This is the this is from the archived video on the website of the Sandy Cameron Memorial Writing Contest.
Oh, that might have been Lisa David.
I think it is Lisa David.
Okay, so I introduced them that event, and then I had to leave the theater and move on to something else. So I didn't hear the reading of that. She did a very good reading of that. She really captured the spirit of Sandy's words in a way that I haven't heard anybody capture them before. They're so powerful words, and just capture so much. Sandy was a very beloved poet, writer, activist. While he didn't live in the neighborhood, he was very, very, very involved in the neighborhood. And I'm not certain if he was the husband of or the partner of Gene Swanson, who is now city councilor Gene Swanson. And Gene was involved in the fight for the recognition of the Downtown East Side as a neighborhood back in the 1970s, along with Libby Davies and Bruce Erickson. So the three of them were very crucial leaders at that time. And you know, when I think upon those words that Sandy wrote, I think about the huge influence that he had on our company and the work that Savannah and I do. Savannah is the artistic director of Vancouver Moving Theatre and the co-artistic director of the Heart of the City Festival. And back in 2003, we had been doing a small festival in the neighborhood in Strathcona called the Artist at Home Festival. And we'd been doing that for about 4 years. We were exploring the idea of working in community and had begun this whole research before even, not research, but way of working before we even knew the term community engaged practice or community arts. We were just doing it, and somebody coming along and told us, hey, you're doing community arts. It's like, okay. And
Terry, could I take us back to that that event at which the reading, at which was it Lisa who did the reading? I mean, it's a memorial writing competition. And I was telling you that I'm a newcomer to the neighborhood, and it's one of these funny things, but when I just don't associate the downtown east side with, you know, writing and art, you know, as a journalist, I cover the neighborhood, and you know, I talk so much about all the other things that go on in the neighborhood, and it's just for me such a welcome relief, and also just a very good reminder that there's a lot more that goes on in the neighborhood than just what makes the headlines.
Yeah, the library is the Carnegie is a hotbed of writers, and had a huge impact on the neighborhood, and Sandy was involved in that. And before I get there, I just finished my thought about Sandy, that he had a really important influence on Savannah and the development of the work that we're doing in the community, because he talked about the downtown east side as a place of refuge and a place that people that welcome people and provided them with a home. So that was really, really an important value for I. And Sandy was very much part of that, the Carnegie and the that world, and which really served as a hotbed for writers. It was really interesting to me. We did an interview, we did a talk with, we did a tribute to the Carnegie recently on their 40th anniversary, and we invited Libby Davies to come, and she did
an XMP interview. For folks who may not know Libby Davies very well, an XMP.
Yeah, that she was involved in the fight to get the community recognized. She was involved in the establishment of the Carnegie Community Center. She became a city councilor and then went on to become the MP for this neighborhood and the riding of Vancouver East. And she talked about the real importance of the library at the Carnegie as being a foundation for the development of the writers at the Carnegie. And that was something I hadn't made that connection before. She said that in the beginning, the public library just wanted to put in a reading room, and because they were afraid that people would steal books and they weren't interested in literature. And she said that it was a big fight. They had to really fight to get an actual library in there. And that library is one of the most used libraries in the city of Vancouver. That place is packed every day with people taking out books and reading and using the computers. And so that was a foundation to help the nurturing of writers and poets and essayists, and the power of writing is that everyone can do it, and everyone has a story, and everyone has a story to share. And the way that one of the easiest ways to do that is through writing. And so it's a very, very accessible art form that people can use to give voice to their concerns, to their history, to the troubles that they've had, to their hopes for the future, to build connection with people. And people in the neighborhood really take to that art form because it is so accessible, and they're able to share with others their thoughts and their dreams. So it's really astounding the amount of writers that are coming out of the Carnegie. And, you know, Bud Osborne, the famous Downtown East Side poet laureate, along with Sandy, who also, I think both of them carry that, you know, that recognition of them as being poet laureates. He was also very involved with the Carnegie. And the other really, really important thing about the Carnegie is the Carnegie Newsletter, which is run by Paul. I'm just trying to think what Paul's last name is right now. It's just left my mind. That bi-weekly newsletter is really a very strong platform for local artists to write or have their writings put into the newsletter. And that is been there now for 32 years, every 2 weeks coming out with people's writings. And so that's also really helped to nurture the writers in the neighborhood. And things like that, that writing has also spawned other things like the Thursday's Writers Group, which was very active for a number of years and which is now, I think, transformed itself into the Downtown East Side Writers Collective or a name, something along those lines. And so we're very, very proud of all the writers in our community, and we do everything that we can to support them.
Terry, maybe with the diversity of writers, maybe this is a good connection to the diversity of the events in the festival. I mean, there are over 100 events going on over Zoom, in person. I mean, can you just take us through a little bit give us an overview of what's going on at the festival?
Yeah,
it's my job. I know
it's quite something, and making that shift from being a festival that was live in the community to a festival that's primarily online has been really a difficult change. We've managed to do it, but it has been a hard, very hard road that we're all learning how to shift from being theater people to being more broadcasters, and all being done under COVID conditions with people meeting via Zoom, which, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, you know, that really slows things down.
But you managed to do so much, like having this, despite that. I mean, I see so many different types of events. I mean, I'm Chinese in terms of my cultural background, and I was fascinated by the Vancouver Cantonese Opera's demonstration of the silk of the water sleeve technique, which I've always seen in my childhood, but now I actually have an explanation of it. And pulling together canoe societies, the short film that they aired, and the discussion of it, and. Mm-hmm. There's beat making, there's an open mic at the Strathcona Tent City. I mean, it's just overwhelming. There's so much to go on. Can you just sort of give our listeners maybe a gentle introduction to what has happened in the festival and what is still to come in the last remaining days?
Yeah, so what happened is that, I'll just go back a little bit, Macy. You know, last year we had 160 events at about 60 locations through the Downtown East Side. And the festival is built on partnerships. So that's the whole principle of the festival. We have over 55 partners, 60 partners every year. And that's one of the reasons why we're able to provide and support such a diverse range of artistic activity. And that value is embedded in our principles that we are here to support the entire ecology of the community, from all the neighborhoods to all the art forms, from the beginning to from people who are just lovers of the arts to cultural treasures. And so we've built these relationships with all over all these years, and people also come to us with content. So the Chinese Opera, we worked with them last year for the first time. They came back to us and said, we would like to do something with you this year, and we would like to do this workshop on water sleeves. The Strathcona Tent City, that was something that we reached out to because we felt that was really an important social issue. So we contacted them and developed that relationship with the Pulling Together Society. And that was an approach that they made to us because of the work that we've been doing in the Indigenous community and supporting the Indigenous community. So they approached us last year, and we had been hoping this year, the intent this year was to have a canoe landing in Crab Park with 12 canoes with 12 families, and it was the 20th anniversary. So we had to make that shift this year. So the festival itself, we have program ideas and we reach out to partners, or we produce them ourselves, but also partners come back to us and say, this is something that we would like to do. And it's because we have that value of working in partnership with our community. And we also have the value of working to sustain that partnership year after year after year. These are not one-offs. These are a continuum of activities that we do with people and organizations over time. So we were really surprised this year. We thought we would end up doing maybe 30 or 40 events for this festival. And to our utter amazement, it came out at 100. And that's a lot, in part because the community was able to step up and come forward with projects themselves.
I'm looking at how folks who are, especially folks who are new to the Heart of the City Festival, how they can sort of get involved, because I think it can be just a lot to go through. So my thought was maybe they could go to the top pick section. You have a top pick section on your website where you go through a number of events. I'm noticing also the archive events section of the website where folks can check out videos that have happened, of events that have happened. And I'm wondering if you have any other tips or any other events coming up still in the last couple of days, because the festival ends fairly soon. The festival ends there. It ends Saturday, November 8th, which is this Saturday. There's some post-festival events, but the large part of the event is over this weekend. Can you maybe list in, I have about a minute left with you, Terry. Could you maybe give me a thought about one event that you love folks to check out before the city?
Well, I think one that I would really encourage people to check out is a show that Vancouver Moving Theatre is doing in partnership with the Far Hall Arts Centre. It's called In the Beginning. And this is running, it's a series of events starting last night, and it runs through Saturday. And there's five shows in the series. And they're not shows per se, as we traditionally think of shows. What they are is a gathering on each night of three or four elders and knowledge keepers from the traditional lands here, but also other knowledge keepers and cultural practitioners who have come down the river or from over the mountain and now live here. And this is a story sharing where these artists from these Indigenous communities share stories under the banner of In the Beginning. And so this is back to the conversation that you and I were having at the top about the city establishing itself in the 1880s. But before that, obviously, the people of this land had lived here for thousands of years since time immemorial. And so these stories that are coming from the people are taking us back to that time and sharing us their sense of this place and this time from their own stories and their own voices. And so that's a really, really important thing, is that we need to listen to the voices of the land. And I one of the artists at an event that I did, he said, we need to listen to learn and learn to listen. And I just thought, that's such a beautiful little phrase, learn to listen and listen to learn. And this is an opportunity to really sit and listen and learn from Indigenous elders and knowledge keepers. So I would really encourage people to do that, because as the community, we really need to listen and learn from the people of this land.
And for listeners, the two remaining events as part of this series is today, Friday at 8 p.m., and then also Saturday, 3 p.m. and 8 p.m., and that's taking place, as Terry said, at Fire Hall Arts Center. Tickets at the door or advance sales at firehallartscenter.ca, and please do check it out. Tickets are $20 each. And Terry, that's all the time we have for today, but listeners can check out many interviews I've had with artists from the festival on our feed and our podcast feed. And thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today.
Thank you. It was really a pleasure, Macy, and thank you for your interest and support of the Heart of the City. We really appreciate the value of our relationship and our partnership with the Co-op Radio. You guys have been fantastic supporters of the festival and our community over the years. Thank you very much.
Take care, Terry. And that was Terry Hunter, Artistic Director of the Heart of the City Festival. The festival runs until this Sunday. There are also viewing rooms if you want to watch the online events with other folks. There's a viewing room at the Carnegie and at the Interurban Gallery at 1 East Hastings. You can find the programming at www.heartofthecityfestival.com. And that's it for today. You're listening to The Pulse on CFRO, your super local morning news show here on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Macy. And as always, please tell us what you think of the show. I'm super curious. I'm at Macy, M-E-I-X-I at coopradio.org. That's M-E-I-X-I at coopradio.org. Ciao, happy Friday, and take care.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.